Well, the world view, the view of the New World Order. Mm-hmm. With some young people. So I call shows like this my listening sessions. My listening sessions, because I'm always curious as to how the world looks from other people's perspective. And it's always interesting to me of how the world has changed. So my children has experienced the world very differently than I have experienced it, because it has changed. Well, technically, like, it's changed in the last 2 years significantly. So things is changing a lot. So we have with us today two young people. So we have Selwa Abdusabor, who is a social advocate, social justice advocate. She is a singer. She is a poet. We have Ayana Bakradine, who is an up-and-coming fashion designer. So thank you, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So today we're just going to kind of like have a conversation and about kind of like a little bit of everything. I'm really interested in seeing kind of like how you view the world and all of the things that is going on, because your perspective is going to be very different than, you know, the way that I view the world. So let's start off with some easy topics. Let's talk about the music industry. Right. Music industry is like it's really different. I think that it's really fascinating to me when I see what's popular. When I was a teenager, so I don't mind telling people my age, I'm 41. So when I was a teenager back in the early 90s, it was scandalous. The scandalous song came out. It was called Doing the Butt. And I would get in trouble all the time. And it wasn't even like twerking. It was just literally like sticking your butt out, doing the butt. Sexy. And it was scandalous. Like, parents freaked out. Now, people talk about nut butter.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I'm like, what in the world? Oh. So, it's really interesting. So tell me about, do you feel like, even in the last, since you're, so you're both in your early 20s, so even since you was a kid to now, how do you see the music industry having changed?
Well, it depends on the genre. Mainly, I listen to hip-hop and R&B. Those two things have definitely changed a lot. R&B is almost eradicated now today. Like, it's very hard to find, like, pure R&B, where they're talking about, like, just love and loving somebody and that kind of stuff. But hip hop has changed a lot. Well, no, actually, I don't think hip hop has changed as much since I was a kid, because I mean, I grew up on, like, you know, Knuck If You Buck, which is like a very violent song, and you got stuff like
it was called what?
Knuck If You Buck.
Okay,
that's not New York. I'll tell you about it later.
It's you know, it's like a violence, but it's like, you know, down south song get people hype, but it's like violent, make you want to fight. And then you got, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, you had songs, I mean, 90s songs were kind of raunchy too. So, I mean, I kind of grew up on that stuff. And then now today, it's a lot more, people are a lot more forward about it. Like, you got Cardi B talking about it explicitly.
So before, you know, it was kind of like people made innuendos about things that were violent or sexual, and now it's more direct?
It's hard to say. Okay, maybe, no, actually, maybe not. Because people were very direct back in the 90s too. Like, you got, like, you know, Freak Me and songs like that, and you got Lil Kim talking about what she'd be talking about. So, you know, I grew up on that kind of stuff too, and then now it's just, it's evolved into a different sound now. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Now it's a different sound. And because we have Instagram, Facebook, we can see that stuff not only in the music, but also in real life. So, like, we have, you know, you have Cardi B. She's not just talking about having sex with a guy in a song. She's also talking about it just in a random Instagram video, promoting it, you know, twerking videos, stuff like that. So it's not that it's necessarily changed. It's just the way that we view it has changed.
Now, why do you think that people like Cardi B and people who are talk about violence, what makes them so popular? Because, like, I did not expect Cardi B to completely blow up. Okay, I was like, okay, she, you know, she's going to, you know, she's popular on Instagram. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, people love. Now, I'm going to give her some credit. Her, whoever's doing her music is the bomb. Mm-hmm. Like, her songs are, like, Cardi B is.
They're fun.
Cardi B's music, to me, so my view of Cardi B is, like, her music is a guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. You can rock to the beat. I give me some really good workouts with her music, as long as you don't listen to the lyrics. So I'll be like, I shouldn't be listening to this, but.
Her producer is fine.
you just can't really listen to the lyrics.
For me, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Cardi B defender to the day she hops like on that Grammy stage and grabs that Grammy. I'm a Cardi B defender. For me, I feel like what got Cardi B so, I guess, popping for me, why I like her so much is how, this is like the real she is, and like how her personality, I feel like there isn't a lot of artists, or she's kind of one of many, she's one of few artists that she's popular because of who she is as a person, unapologetically. And like, she can go on social media and talk about political stuff. She can go on social media and talk about, you know, whatever, her stripping life. She can go on social media, talk about anything, and everybody will listen. Like, she's gone on social media, not just talked about sleeping with men. She's gone on social media talking about, like, real political views. She's gone on her stage knowing that she attracts a lot of audience, and talking about going to vote and having, like, Michelle Obama, like, have a video in her show. So for me, there is, I guess there's no double-edged sword, because I'm just like, listen, like, if you want, if that's what you want to do, that's like, you know, promoting yourself, and that's her life, and that's where she came from. I also like how she came, her story too, like how she came from, you know, stripping, how she came from, you know, other things, and now has like turned her hustle. She's just like a hustler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And now she like dripping in money, like, but that's not because, like,
she turned her hustle into real money.
Yeah, there's plenty of people, and that's not like a unique story. That's like a very common story that often isn't heard, just because it's like, I guess there's a taboo around being a stripper. But now it's like, if you're a stripper, now like girls are like, oh, I could be a stripper.
Do you think Cardi B being a stripper made it more acceptable?
Made more acceptable for her to,
like, to people. Do people still, because there is a taboo around being a stripper,
still,
like,
they're looked
down. Do you think that people change their view after they see Cardi?
Yes, they definitely do.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a lot of, yes. There's a lot of yes.
I think people like Cardi. They like her personality. They like who she is. And plus, I've said that before, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat has made people so accessible. So that's why these celebrities are so popular now, because we actually get to see into their lives, see their views. Like, somebody like Beyonce, she doesn't even do interviews unless it's Oprah or Ellen or something like that. She, you know, we don't have access to her. We love her because of her music and stuff like that, but we don't have access to her as a person. Cardi B, you have access to her. You have access to her music, her family life. The only thing she hasn't shown is her baby, but we all know she had a baby. We all know when she had the baby. We all know what her husband looks like. We all know, like, her family. Like, so we have more access to her. So that's why she's more relatable, and that's why, you know, stripping will be more, I guess, acceptable now. People are like, oh, you know, it's not so bad. It worked out for her, so, you know, work out for me.
Also, Cardi B came up through Instagram.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. She was an Instagram, like, popular influencer. And then that's
before
how
she even became popular.
Yeah. She used to be like, make a lot of videos
of
and stuff
today.
So why do you think that, let's switch over to a male personality. So people who were, I consider, like, OG people have popularized themselves through Instagram. People like 50 Cent, for example. Mm-hmm.
Will Smith. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. 50 Cent. Will Smith.
With the, Will
came
Smith
in and dominated Instagram.
That is true. Will Smith
my came really
in. Oh my God.
Will Smith did. He did. So does that make them? Because, so, like, Will Smith was popular during my era. So I hear you saying, oh, you know, Will Smith is the person. Does it make him relatable to younger generations? Because he's on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's doing things on Instagram. He's making like little skits and stuff and being funny on Instagram. That's what people relate to. We have like short attention spans now. So he makes like these short, relatable, funny videos that get you engaged. And it's like, ah, ha, ha, he's funny. And he's this guy that, you know, was on these all these great movies. So now he gets to be like a little bit more on my level. Now he's a little bit more of a regular person, you know, because I see him celebrating his birthday. We would have never saw that from Will Smith before. Mm-hmm. We would have to see it in like People magazine. Now we can go on Instagram and see it. And it's like, oh, that looks so fun. Like you feel like you're there with him.
So here's a interesting question. And everybody have a different opinion. What do you think about this thing where stars are making political statements, right? Mm-hmm. So there's two camps. Use your platform, or as they say, shut up and play. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, no. So what do you think about, do you think that, so here's an interesting scenario. So we know that a lot of people, Colin Kaepernick, Kerry Washington, they all very forwardly make political statements, go vote against police brutality. But then on the flip side, you have people like Tiffany Haddish. So Tiffany Haddish, she was asked during a post award show interview, the reporter posed to her something about the fact that only a certain amount of Black women have ever received this award and what can be done inside of the entertainment industry to diversify it more. And her response was, I don't know. If you ask me how to construct a joke, I will tell you how to construct a joke, but I don't got no answer for that. So she completely stays out of everything that is political. She doesn't give an opinion about it. So she's really kind of like the opposite end of the coin. What do young people think about? Do you look to these people and feel like they should use their platform, or should they not use their platform? Because there's a double-edged sword about it. You can be, hey, Colin Kaepernick, I'm using my platform. Mm-hmm. You can also be, hey, I'm Kanye West using my mm-hmm. platform. Mm-hmm. So there's a double-edged sword. So where do you guys stand on that?
I don't mind it. I think if that's your interest, if you're interested in politics or you keep up with it, if it's something that you believe, I don't believe that you don't have the right to express it. If you believe that it's very important for people to vote and you want people to stay current with politics, I think you should express
that. What about taking a particular stance?
They're still people. They're people.
So you think that
they can take, I mean, they do what they, I mean,
do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's impactful?
I think it is impactful. I think because people were mad at Beyonce when in the recent election because she only put up her post supporting Beto O'Rourke like 2 days before the election. They were like, if you had did this months ago or two weeks ago, more people would have voted for him and he probably would have won. So they were like mad at her for not posting it soon enough. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, like it matters. So if you decide to put it out there, just know you're going to get, you know. Yeah. That backlash or support, depends on what people want to go.
For me as an artist and activist, I always wonder, people always have that question. That's like the question people ask me, people ask about other artists, is like, do you, like, how can you, or how does activism play into art? And it's like, how could it not, though, to me? And I also see that with other artists. Like when I think of artists and activists, I think of Nina Simone. Like These artists who've taken political stances have been happening forever. But I think that now, I feel like in a way back then, and just taking this like just general political stance of like, you know, like empowering Black people, I feel like there was more like representation in that sense back in the day than it is now. I feel like now it's secret. Like, oh, you're not supposed to take political stances. Back in the day, they had good times.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali. You had mad, like, people of color who are artists who are taking political stances. But now it's like, oh, why are you doing that? Like, just get this bag. But, like, how can you separate your art from your activism, especially if you're Black, especially if you're queer, especially if you are immigrant? Like, there's so many, like, identities that intersect that right now it's, like, more important than ever like draw from that and be like, listen, I'm not gonna like let, because I feel like people think that you can sit back in your house and watch Democracy, like, oh, my thoughts about Democracy will translate into the White House and that's how my vote's gonna get in. Like, no, in order for Democracy to work, you have to like participate in it. Like, so if you're an artist and you have a platform and you believe in something that's like, you know, what you believe in, but also there's that double-edged sword, is like, you know, Kanye was saying like the slavery thing, but like at the same time,
Trump is his
father. But like, yeah. Oh wow, okay. Wow. But like at the same time, like it's just mad important right now for artists, for people just in general, to take political stances and participate in democracy. It's not going to work if we don't participate. So there is that, because it's like, oh, is it fair for artists who have a bigger platform to like, you know, pull for, but like
I don't blame Tiffany Haddish though.
Yeah, she's trying to get this bag.
Listen, she's trying to make her money. She don't want nobody coming at her. I'm sure she votes. I'm sure she has a stance. Mm-hmm. She just don't want to put it out there because she know how people, this, she's going to get backlash. She don't want to have to deal with it. I don't blame her. But if you want to use your platform to speak on what you believe in, I absolutely support that as well.
So so that takes us into politics. So I was really, really happy. You know, I tagged y'all and all kind of stuff to find out that in some states, the participation of young people between 18 and 26 was up 500%. That was both.
Thank you, Yara Shahidi.
So is that, what do you think, that that's a part of it? Young people telling other young people we have to vote?
Yep.
Yeah.
What changed for young people when this last administration got voted in? What do you think was the change
since like Trump got elected?
Yeah, because I think that was a bit, I think Obama being President, Obama being elected was a, it was a change and more people voted because they wanted to see a black man inside of the White House. But people then didn't vote as there. Then the voting amount went down when he got elected the second time. And it went down again when Trump got elected. We're talking like young people, like a lot of people literally just did not vote because they were so frustrated. But now in this midterms all across the country, it's been record breaking numbers. Do you think that people have realized, like you said, democracy doesn't work if you don't participate?
I think that.
What are, and let me say, share with me some of the conversations that you have with your friends about what's going on politically.
So for me, because my social media is full of many, because I'm an artist and activist, I'm also really embedded in the community. I have a lot of friends with a lot of different political views. I have friends who are socialist, friends who are communist, friends who are whatever. Like there's such a spectrum of people who have different politics than me. And one of the things that really bothered me, I feel like about the election that came and the election that happened and then the election following up, there were still people who were saying, I'm not going to vote. Like, it's all a sham or whatever, conspiracy, whatever. I don't even know. But it was like, they're just not going to vote because they won't choose between the lesser of two evils or something like that. But at the same time, like the fact that they weren't voting, I was just like, voting is the least. It's like the bare minimum. It's not the only thing you should do, but it should the least that you should do. And I feel like the change that happened with the last election, definitely that was a lot of conversation. A lot of people were saying, a lot of young people were saying, I'm not voting because I'm not going to choose between da, 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 da. I'm like, at least vote for the Green Party. Just go out and vote. Like, I don't know. Like, shoot, like, vote for the other chick. I don't know. But a lot of people were saying, I'm not going to vote. And that really bothered me because as somebody, I feel like when I turned 18, I was like, not really worried about getting in a car because I live in a city, but I was excited to vote. I was like, listen, I'm trying to get my voting stuff together. Like, I'm ready to vote. Like, let's go. Bernie all day is about to get lit. But that was like my exciting thing. And as somebody who knows about my history, about my heritage, where I came from, black people died. I know it's like the cheesy thing. Black people died. But it's just true. Black people died to vote. How is that not important? Many people died to vote. And that is a right that we have. And we sit in the house talking about we're going to telekinesis our vote into the White House. And I'm just like, what is you doing? So yeah, participating in democracy makes a difference. And even if, like, you know, there is all that like kooky stuff about voting and maybe Russia's interfering in our thing or whatever, but at least you can say you went out and voted, and there has to be numbers that prove that. And so that's the least you can do. And then that also just activates you when you're getting out the house and going to vote and doing something that makes you feel good, that's contributes to your community, then you're most likely to do other things, other community activities within your community to go out and make a difference in your neighborhood. So I feel like this midterm election, what changed was, I really feel like Yara Shahidi. I feel like she was the first young person, young artist, young person who had a platform to take a stand and be like, yo, like, I'm going to like encourage young people to, because I'm like 18 or something, and this is something I believe in. And I feel like she was like kind of the first tide, like heavy tide, for other artists to take that stance. I feel like I didn't really notice any artists before taking a stand about, you know, voting. But now I feel like she has created the trend. She has made it popular. She has made it trendy to vote. And I feel like, listen, if you're going to make it trendy, if it's like a little, if it's like, you know, a little, what's those spinner thingies?
Oh, the fidget spinner.
If it's like a fidget spinner for you to go vote, then go, like, that's fine.
Whatever works.
Whatever works. But people got to know that that's not the only thing that needs to be done. But at least you went to go do it. So props to y'all.
I think that young people went out and voted this time because they realized that this is real. Like, this is really real. When, you know, the race for the last election, when Trump got elected, nobody thought he was going to get elected.
Me included.
No, everybody was like, this is a joke. He's not really going to get elected. I was like, me and my friends, like, he's not really getting elected. A lot of people didn't vote because they was like, there's no way. Didn't vote. And then it happened. So it was like a reality check. Like, okay, this is like real life. We really need to have our input. And also, again, social media plays a huge part. Every time you open your phone, you see something political in your timeline. Everybody's posting about it or talking about it. It's in your face. You see people getting shot. You see the picture, the graphic pictures in your face on your timeline. You cannot ignore it now. So it's kind of like, okay, I can't ignore it. I can't say I didn't see it. So now I have to do something about it. I think that's why so many young people have been going out to vote and getting involved, is because it's like, I can't ignore this. I have to do something, and my voice actually matters. So took their opportunity.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We're also streaming live on TuneIn Radio. This is Mornings with Mubaraka, and you can listen to us on newhavenindependent.org or on Facebook Live, Fit Muslima Facebook page, New Haven Independent Facebook page. And today we are talking about the worldview from millennials. And we are here with Sawa Abdusabor and Ayana Bakradin, and we're talking about politics. It is that subject. So since we're talking about politics, we just had the midterms, and we talked about how so many people voted. Is the result of the midterms, do you think, has a lot to have to do with young people coming out and vote? We have a record number of women inside of both Congress and Senate now. We have lots of firsts, the first Muslim women serving in Congress, the first trans woman, the first Native American serving in Congress. We have lots of firsts. Do you think that that is a result of young people saying, hey, this is real and we got to get some diversity in there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like she said, people using their platform to push it, like Yara Shahidi saying things like, you know, go and vote. Even Cardi B saying, go vote. That actually, because those people, their followers follow them because they like them. And anything that they say to do, they're going to like do. Like if they wear something, they're going to go buy it. So even if, like she said, even if it makes it a trend, it works. So those people using their platforms to push it and say, you know, this is, you know, what's really happening. You need to use your voice. People are going to go and do that. So I think that was like a big factor in that too.
I think also we need to recognize that, like, Yara Shahidi, I wanted to also note that, like, Yara Shahidi did encourage us, or I feel like she was like the staple of like the trend of to go voting. But because of that, I think people in turn connected to the political campaigns in their neighborhoods. And so, like, in turn, these political, whatever they believed in, campaigns ended up becoming more popular. And it was easier now at this point for other people to get more in tune with the things that are going on in their neighborhood. So then they're like, hey, like, I want to elect the first Muslim woman to go into office. Like, what does she believe in? What is that? And so I feel like now people are more like open in that way, because it's like now when something becomes trendy, it becomes household name.
So here's my question is, and again, reflecting on your conversations with your friends, are young people voting because it's trendy and they want to vote this particular person in? So like, oh, Beto O'Rourke is super cool. So, or do they actually know the issues that they stand on? Can young people have a conversation about this is why, you know, he supports healthcare for all and this is why it's important, or she is, you know, for whatever and this is why it's important? Can you have those conversations with your friends about the actual issues?
Yes.
So, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Because I have friends who vote because it's trendy and, oh, this person seems to, you know, align with what I believe in, so I'm going to vote for them because they're like the cool person on Instagram. Like, everybody knew about Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum because they were like all over Instagram and Oprah was supporting, you know. So that's, you know, that's why some people were voting. I guess with my friends, it's a little more on the trendy side. I'm not trying to play nobody, but like, it's a little more on the trendy side, I will be honest, because it's like, oh, this person is all over my Instagram and they're black and they're a woman, so I'm going to vote for them. I want to see that person in office so that I can post their picture on Instagram and be like, yay, we did it. But I have very rarely had a conversation with somebody saying, oh, these are the issues. This is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. This is why I'm voting for this person. And a lot of times it's just, oh, they're black, or, oh, they're a woman, or, oh, she's Muslim. So I'm going to vote
then
for
everybody mad when they vote for Ben Carson.
Like, oh, but I thought that. Yeah, you voted for a Ben Carson, like, kind of dude. What's going on?
I thought he was black and he was down with us.
Nah, Kanye, bro. Kanye about to be vice president. What you talking about? Listen, I believe anything now, but
you know what's really interesting about Trump being elected is, so Isan, you know, for everybody who's watching, my youngest son, who's 18, he said to me when Trump got elected, he said, you know, he said, when Obama got elected and you told me I could be president, I was like, yeah, whatever. Okay. He said, but I didn't believe that I could be president one day until Trump got elected.
Bruh.
He's like, Trump proved to me that anybody can become president.
Yep. And I was like, well, I guess there's a silver lining. Trump gave hope to little black boys.
Don't quote. Yeah, edit
all
that
over
out.
Viral. Yeah. Trump gave hope to little black boys. You too. Could be president of the United States.
Oh my God. So,
I think that was really fascinating to me, with a really good observation that he made of himself when Trump got elected. I was like, wow, okay. So let's talk about kind of like one of the things that seems to be kind of both trendy and empowerment. There's a lot of conversation about race lately.
Mm.
And it seems to be cool and trendy to be woke, to be black empowerment. But how, so that's my observation. You can agree or disagree. But my question is always is, how are you observing that people are actually putting that into action? Like, if someone is supposed to be quote unquote woke, what are they doing other than sharing woke memes? Right?
Exactly.
And do you see your friends like doing something to actually back up kind of like that, oh, we're empowered black people now kind of idea?
No.
Oh, for me, yes.
No.
Sorry, I do not surround myself. No. All my friend circle is valid woke.
It's valid woke.
Valid woke. What's valid? We don't be playing around with that trendy woke. No, we getting down, saying.
So what is here. Valid woke and how?
Valid woke. I'm just saying, everybody can
be woke. I feel like there's different levels of woke. Look at me just breaking down the wokeness.
There's wokeness in the kingdom of Wakanda.
Oh my God.
Wakanda.
Okay. I feel like it's fine for woke to be trendy. I feel like I said, trendy things are usually the gateway into something deeper. Mm-hmm. These are ideas that are put down that ends up manifesting in some way deeper, and more action and more thinking about it. A lot of conclusions I come to from trendy topics, like when Kanye West was talking about what he's talking about, it made like our family have a really deep like conversation about what it means to be black and what's gonna take for us to like heal. And I felt like that was so awesome. Even though like it was, oh, I can't believe we're putting this, but I was like, this is such an important conversation. Like that's probably going to be a conversation I'm going to remember for the rest of my life, and it will continue to grow some, you know, things.
So even
there.
When it's controversial and things even that you don't agree with, it at least starts the conversation.
It literally starts the conversation. Like,
so what are the, again, your valid woke? What's valid woke? Okay. What are the things that you've seen that you're
certified woke?
In order to be certified woke, to get this certification, what's the process? What are the things that you see them doing?
I feel like I also wanted to say also like exclusivity is like not really that fun, also not really that helpful. So like Valor, you could be woke and you could call yourself woke, and if that's what you want to call yourself, that's awesome and great. There's no such thing as valid woke. This is a joke. But I feel like she's gonna get attacked when she walks outside. No, but like when we make these things exclusive, it makes it feel like, oh, I'm not woke enough, I'm not black enough, I'm not this enough. Like if you are starting the process of really, it's really about educating yourself about the things that usually maybe like that we were taught that actually are different, that we were lied to about. So like somebody who's woke might know that, or a lot of people know, but some people don't know that like Thanksgiving was a massacre, like was when like they was training goods and then they poisoned them. It's like a whole thing. I think I'm not explaining it right, but you know what I'm saying, like we know that Thanksgiving was like not to Native Americans, that wasn't something to be celebrated. It was a completely different thing, but when we're kids we're taught something different. So I feel like what it means to be woke to me and my friend group is really, like I said, I will say it again, being attuned to the things in your community. And also there's also like spiritual wokeness, you know, connecting to your heritage as like a black person or as a POC or as a native, and like connecting back to your spiritual roots. There's like, you know, community wokeness, you know, knowing about the things in your community. There's like understanding certain political ideas and topics, and like how money works, and how like when you have money you're in debt. Like there's like this whole, there's so many, I feel like being woke is knowing, is having the knowledge and researching the knowledge that often isn't promoted or is kind of like kept from you.
So do you, so again, so my question, so besides being informed, has it translated itself into any specific action?
Specific action? I don't know how that would be measured, rather than if you
do your like
protesting.
Oh yeah. Not just protesting, but just like every day. Do your friends consciously try to buy from black businesses?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Do they consciously try to you know, do you find like more people went over to natural hair and is more proud of
that? I thought you meant like, are we on a picket line? Like,
yeah, that's what I was like.
So no, not like, necessarily picket. Like when I say translate your wokeness, is like you can be informed about certain things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But my friends, both two of my friends. So I'm gonna shout out my friend Christina, because she's an artist too. TTROA on YouTube and on iTunes. She's dope. But she went natural. My best friend Chanel went natural, like cut all the hair off. Like, you know, they was having perms for years and stuff, but they went natural because they've realized and come into their, I guess, you know, blackness. I don't like the word woke because it's kind of like overused, but they've come into like, you know, appreciating their blackness and embracing themselves. I definitely see that translate over into my friends. We definitely have conversations about that and stuff, but we not like, you know, activists like that. But
I'm gonna pass some wisdom down. So this wisdom was passed down to me by one of our dear community staples, Miss Bracy.
And I was in a meeting one day, a community meeting here in New Haven, and we were talking about, you know, protesting and things like that. And I was like, you know, I'm really not a big protester. And at the time when Selwa, she wanted to go to some protests that we were like, I don't know about all that. And I'll be honest, the room attacked me. I got a little tongue lashing from my other black woman. But Miss Bracey defended me. And Miss Bracey said, let the walkers walk and let the talkers talk, because everybody got a job to do. She's like, you don't have to.
Can I get an amen?
You know, let me tell you, I was like, thank you so much. She was like, everybody don't have to protest. There's a lot of other things that you could do. So I will pass that down to the third generation. Miss Bracey's going to affect the whole community. Let the walkers walk and the talkers talk. So when I talk about, and that really was, you know, it sounds really great. And yes, I did make a meme for Miss Bracey. However, it was really a eye-opening moment for me to recognize kind of like everybody has a part to play in this. There's this movie. What was the name of the movie? The movie was about this guy who was a butler in The White Butler.
Oh, The Butler.
Yeah, The Butler. Just talk about the movie, you figure out the name. The Butler. And that to me was really an interesting display of how no matter what people were doing, that they were impacting change. Mm-hmm. Because even though the butler's son was out there literally getting beat up and arrested, and he was advocating and he was protesting, the butler didn't do all of that, but just him being in the room and being able to have a conversation with the president, being able to have a conversation with certain people in the White House, also made an impact. So I guess for young people, do you see yourself making an impact even with little things? Do you really translate that? Because a lot of time people do stuff and they don't realize that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that young people do it with intentions? Like, I am purchasing from a black business because I know that this is going to impact in this way.
Yep. So, real quick, I'll throw my wedding in there real quick. But my whole wedding, like everybody that was involved, any business that was involved with it was a black owned business.
Mm.
And at the end, I was kind of like, I don't even think I did it on purpose, but it was just kind of like an inner conscious kind of thing. Cause it was like, I would go to other businesses that may have been, you know, white owned or anything. And I was just like, I don't really want to buy from here. I didn't really know why. But then it was like, once I got to other businesses, I realized at the end, I was like, I did this kind of like, you know, unconsciously, because I was just like, I don't know if, you know, I feel like I wanted to support black businesses. And I've always been like that, where I wanted to support black businesses because I think more black people should be owning businesses. But a lot of my friends, even my siblings, my mom, we're like super into like, you know, supporting people and having conversations. And even if you, you know, little things like, you know, you have a coworker who says racist things, correcting them, that's a step that's making an impact, because maybe they never even thought that what they were saying was racist or prejudiced or whatever. So, you know, little things matter. I don't think everybody has to be, like you said, you know, picketing and rioting and protesting and stuff. So
I think that also translates into, I feel like there's like conversations about race, but we also need to talk about conversations around like the Me Too movement as well. Like, these translate into that, like rape culture, like correct, like the correct people when they say misogynistic and patriarchal things. Like, it's trash. It's so 2017. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we see, I feel like the biggest thing, as somebody who works in a custodial industry, in the construction industry, I'm often the only femme body in the room. And often that translates into men treating me a certain way. And a lot of times, either it'd be disrespectfully, you know, extra, extra sweetly. But most of the times I'm in conversations, or I'm in spaces and in groups of spaces where they're saying really misogynistic, messed up things about women. Little things that you can do is correcting them. Often, even if it's just a face, I do give faces. They do become scared of me because of the faces I make. When they do say stuff and they looking around like, oh, you know what I'm saying? So it starts with correcting, you know, what people say. And it's mostly, in my experience, it's mostly men, but also women enforce the patriarchy too. by being silent, because that's like something that like we're taught to do, is be silent, be docile. Correct your husbands, correct your brothers, correct your friends, correct your cousins, correct them. Like that's mm-hmm. those are little things that you can do to, you know, enforce that, to kind of, you know, dismantle that culture, because it's affecting women and it's affecting the community around us. So yeah, there's little things that you can do.
So this is an interesting topic because like at what point are we being too much? So here's an example. This actually didn't happen in America. It happened in Canada. I was reading. So a mom went to the school and she said that she wanted Sleeping Beauty to be taken out of the school because it enforces the misogynistic view that men don't need permission. Because, you know, in Sleeping mm-hmm. Beauty, do you think that even little things like that affects
that? See, that's the problem with the movements. That's why I don't like to associate with every movement. Like, you know, if it's something that, you know, aligns with my ideals, I'll support it, but I'm not going to say I'm a part of this movement, because there's always people mm-hmm. that take it too far. Like, you're doing wow. too much. How is a cartoon? I mean, it may be serious to her and, you know, whatever ideal, but how are you going to say to take it out of the entire school? Because, you know, most of the parents probably don't have a problem with it, but there's just always somebody that just takes it too far. Even with the, you know, with the black movements we have, like, you know, there's people that saying, oh, this person is a culture vulture because they did this. So it's like little things that mm-hmm. people make to be grand, to seem like they're a part of the movement too. They just want to be like, you know, a part of it. And it's like, y'all are reaching, like really, really reaching. So that's the problem with the movements, is it does a lot of good, but then it's always, you know, those like group of handful of people that just want to take it like way too far, and then kind of messes up the message.
I think that's where, and I like this part, because I think that's where I differentiate with it. I feel like I understand her perspective. I feel like when you think about the whole movie and how it the movie is shaped, just like, I guess if you like the story, I feel like, because when I'm thinking about it, this whole entire basis of the movie is like, you know, Sleeping Beauty, something where she gets passed out or something like that, and the only thing that wakes her up is a man, is the prince's kiss. There's a lot of,
look at that, the feminist came out for her, the only thing wakes her up is a man.
Yeah, right. We already know what you
the
said.
The only thing that wakes up is a man. Sis, you better take some Tylenol. All
right. Which, yes, I honestly agree with it. There's so many other movies to. There's Moana, sis. There's like,
she was talking about the book.
Or you, not even a book. You could just say, I don't want the book. Why to book. My child? You don't have to take it out of the school.
They should just do a whole different book. Like, to me, I'm like, really, Sleeping Beauty? There's so many different books. I feel like, and also, I don't know. I just feel like they had so many different books. I feel like, personally. Because, like, why are you reading Sleeping Beauty? What is it about it? What is so fantastic about it? There is no, where, there's why no Pitzer still, for
it's really an old story.
Exactly.
Again, this didn't happen in America. This was in Canada.
They didn't get no award for the book. I'm confused. Like, there's so many different, empowering, awesome books about.
But what, in general, totally what do you things. Think about, what do you think about the feminist movement? So okay. Here are some of the interest. So we only have a few minutes. We only have like maybe 4 minutes left of the show.
Okay.
But the interest, so the thing about the feminist movement is that this is just as an older person looking at The View, I feel like younger feminists are extreme.
They're very extreme, yes.
Do you find that to be in your, I feel like older feminists are more like practical about it, but younger feminists, they're like, oh, we should kill all boy children. Like,
no,
no, literally, somebody told my son really? That. Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah. Younger yeah. feminists are, I don't think they completely get it.
Let me stop.
They took the movement and ran with it. They just
feminism is white.
It's too many opinions in it. If we're gonna have a movement, we need to have one mission statement, not Sarah's mission statement plus this person's mission plus this. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's trying to bring what they specifically want into the movement and say it's feminism, and that's not mm-hmm. what it is. There's one central idea that benefits everybody, and whatever little thing you want, do that on your own time. Stop trying to bring it into, you know, this huge movement that means a lot to a lot of women. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of women don't associate themselves with feminism, because it's mm-hmm. like, I can't even be a part of this because y'all are just doing too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes it hard to for people to even support the movement when you're trying to bring your own ideologies and your own ideals into it.
Mm-hmm. Defining own feminism, feminists are white. Womanists are for everyone. I feel like the feminist movement, and I feel like I can't remember what.
White women.
Yeah, like I feel like there definitely was a black woman who did say that. She said, "I'm not feminist. I'm a womanist." Mm-hmm. Oftentimes in the feminist movement, it's like this the narrative that is pushed forth, the narrative that is upheld is white women. That is the like, and black women are supposed to, like we have before, support all their stuff. But then when it's time for us to get supported, they're like, "Huh." Even when I feel like what is the nasty woman movement? Mm. Oh my God.
Mm.
I usually was the only one in the room, and I was there because, you know, I knew a lot of women who were participating in that movement. So I was like, okay, let me be around, you know what I'm saying? But like, usually I was the only black person in the room, and oftentimes our stories aren't being upheld, and oftentimes we're not in the, like, it's just like,
not in the conversation.
It's not in the conversation. Also, yeah, if that's the case, because I have heard some wild stuff too, that's wild. Y'all,
yeah. Like, too many hands in the pot.
So we can keep this conversation going on for a while. I think it was real. Thank you guys for coming. This was really, really interesting. We might have to like go do an extra Facebook Live at another time.
And
talk about this. This is really interesting. So, and again, this is some of the shows that I really like the most when I get to have a listening session from other people's point of view. So. Thank you guys for coming, and thank everybody for listening. You've been listening to Mornings with Mubaraka on WNHHLP 103.5 FM. And I remind you today, as I do every week, go about your week and be a voice and not an echo.